Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 25 of season 6, the penultimate episode of season 6, Timescape. It was directed by Adam Nimoy of Leonard Nimoy fame, written by Brandon Braga, aired back on June 14th, 1993. In this one, Picard, Troy, LaForge, and Data must save the Enterprise, which they find frozen in an explosion of time, taking weapons fire from an also-frozen Romulan warbird. Modi's here to talk about this one, so right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on Timescape.
Let's go through all this again. You were sitting there. The rest of us were here. Describe the exact moment when we appeared to freeze.
Well, Geordi was talking about what it felt like to touch the plasma field, and you were taking a sip of tea.
Did you sense something from any of us at that time? Any unusual emotion?
Not a thing. I was empathically aware of you right up to the moment when you froze, and then it all stopped. The last few days have been exhausting. Maybe it was my imagination. There were moments in that lecture hall when I thought time was standing still there, too.
Oh, there is another possibility, Counselor. This could be nothing more than sim...
Oh! Oh!
You were right, Counselor.
What happened?
You were motionless for 3 minutes, 11 seconds.
It appears to be the same effect that you described in us.
Do you remember anything?
No. One second I was talking to you, and the next you were all standing around me.
Wait a second. This is weird.
What is it?
I had the tricorder run a comparison between the bioscan I took on you earlier and the one I ran just now. In the time between the two scans, you should have aged 23 minutes. But according to your cellular decay levels, you've only aged 20 minutes.
How do you account for this discrepancy?
I don't know, sir. It's as if for Counselor Troy... For 3 minutes, time just stopped.
Podcast is no longer frozen in time. We're here to talk about Timescape. I'm joined by Modi. How are you, sir?
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm great.
Welcome back to the podcast. You've been season six heavy, it seems, in these past couple of months.
I like it.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good stretch of the show, a good stretch for you, I guess. And I guess let's just talk about Timescape. I'll fire this one off by my sort of big, broad, general point here. This is kind of a Brandon Braga episode. It's kind of the curse of Brandon Braga episodes, I think, to a T. And it's a big idea that doesn't quite resolve itself very well. That's a very like generic thing to say, but I don't know how to better explain it then. This is an episode that I really love the concept of. And while it doesn't fall apart by the end, it just kind of... It kind of loses steam as it goes along. And
yeah, that's true.
What are your sort of general take from this guy?
It does start out, I don't know, it's got this weird kind of sitcom-y feel about the start of it somehow.
Yeah.
And I kind
of
like that in a way because it kind of catches you unawares. It lulls you into like thinking this episode's going to be about something that it's not about, with them just kind of talking about nonchalant stuff of, oh, I'm taking care of Data's cat. And, oh, let's complain about all the professors at this seminar we went to. And then it kind of lulls you into this false sense. And I kind of liked that. But there was also something kind of cheesy about the beginning, I felt like. And maybe that might just be TNG in general. So I might be wrong about that. But, I don't know. It felt a little like sitcom-y somehow or something like that, maybe.
I agree that I don't think that the scene where they're talking about the professors or the speakers at that conference was really good. I think it's just because the cast isn't written to be really chummy, and them trying to have a chummy conversation doesn't really come across really, really well.
It's out of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that the, As much as because the audio drop of Picard doing the "he kept talking" in one incredibly long unbroken sentence is that's kind of a famous audio drop. It's funny, but Troy sort of telling them a story about how she was sort of sexually harassed by a guy at a conference is a sort of it feels very early 90s. While at the same time, it doesn't feel like the show at all would talk about this kind of stuff. And once we get past that, though, I think it moves into the most effective part of the episode is the first probably two acts where they start to it starts to get very creepy. This episode always reminds me of a wax museum. Just the frozen, you know, just people frozen in time is a very like creepy concept. And
the way they keep panning across faces, because you just know one of those guys is going to move eventually, and they keep like faking you out with it. It's going to be this guy. It's going to be this guy, and they keep faking you out with it along the way.
Yep.
And you know it's going to happen. You're just waiting for it to happen.
Yes. And I was also basically the really great part of this episode to me is when they're on the runabout at the like until the it sort of ends once they no it goes a little bit beyond it but like once they. Find the Enterprise frozen in time and they board the ship for the first time. That's probably the peak of the episode for me. And I was watching like the runabout scenes and I kept, the runabout's interesting. I think it's the first appearance in the show, like the big shuttlecraft basically that has separate rooms. They kept splitting up and going into the different rooms. And I kept expecting them to come back and someone would be frozen or something like that. It never really happened, mm-hmm. but I think the episode did a really good job of setting up that sort of tense horror aspect to it.
Yeah, why would they ever leave each other? I thought that, like, somebody would leave the room and come back and the other guy's like 40 years older.
Right,
like, that could happen too. You know?
Yeah, that could happen. They're very willing to split up on the runabout. But the first freeze is really, really creepy. Where Troy is the only one that remains, and then they do that nice smash cut where Troy is talking, and then it cuts.
That
to
was
her.
Really good editing. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's really good. What'd you think of the sort of setup? I guess a little bit of like minor trivia for you is that Brandon Braga wrote this one. He also wrote Cause and Effect. He said that this was his attempt to try to outdo Cause and Effect. What do you think? What do you think about that statement? And what do you think about it in terms of how the episode came across?
I think Cause and Effect might be better.
Cause and Effect is definitely better, I think.
But for sure.
Go ahead, explain why you'd think that.
I don't know. This again. There's something that seemed, if it maybe trying too hard with this one, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It didn't quite do it as much. For this was still a pretty good episode, though.
I enjoyed this one.
I don't want to take that away. Yeah, this is actually a pretty decent episode, but. Yeah, no, I think I like Cause and Effect better for sure.
I agree. I think this is a really strong episode. I think it falls into the TNG and sort of general story problem of if you have a really cool mystery like they set this one up with, the solution kind of needs to be equally cool, or it just falls a little bit flat. And I think that this one. I love everything up to basically their time on the ship the first time back where they're walking through the frozen in time, because this is basically a mystery story for the first three acts. And once they reveal the answer of what's going on in Act 4, it stops being as interesting to me.
It does. And it's another one of those kind of problems that would solve itself if they didn't interfere, it seems like. The aliens bound themselves to the warp core. I guess the only difference is that they saved some Romulans along the way.
Yep.
That's about the only difference that ended up here. Romulans we don't even know about. That apparently they evacuated.
Yes.
But otherwise, had it played out, these guys would have been fine and they would have absorbed the ship or whatever they needed to do, and then they would have continued on. Like, the Enterprise didn't help the situation, they only hurt the situation.
Yeah, I think the Enterprise caused the timescape as well, right? Like, they caused that whole thing. I mean, I guess the you know, it kind of ties into my, when they reveal that this is being caused by basically aliens in the Romulan warp core or whatever it is that are living there and are reacting poorly to whatever's going on. It kind of stops making sense at that point, because it's like, why were the aliens pretending to be frozen Romulans at that point? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Why didn't they try to... They can obviously communicate with the other people. Why didn't they just communicate and say... we have aliens.
Say what's going on.
Yeah, say what's going on in the thing. It's just the reveal of, oh, it's an alien of the week thing.
I thought was a mistake. I would have stayed away from aliens doing it and would have come up with some other explanation, because I really love the setup of the mystery of, you know, Crusher's getting shot by a Romulan in sickbay. Riker's apparently being attacked on the bridge. They're beaming Romulans onto the ship at the same time as they're being attacked by them. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Right. I did like that portion of it, that it was all these coincidences that are explained away eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, again, it's the whole resolution isn't good enough for the setup. And again, I guess they kind of have done the whole... If it was going to be... I mean, what else could it be, though, besides aliens that are taking... I mean, how do you explain this without aliens taking a human form somehow?
Yeah, well, I was
trying to think about that.
I wonder if I would have enjoyed it if it was just about them solving more of the mystery of the things that they found on the ship, kind of. Like, I think you have to make whatever the emergency was that went on the ship would have to have been a little bit more layered. Like, maybe there was a saboteur or something on the Romulan ship. Mm-hmm. And they would have solved that mystery through going through it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if that would have been exciting enough, I guess, would be the thing about it. You know, I also think that they kind of struggle to figure out what the conflict would be, because there's really, you know how Picard gets like time sick or temporal sickness, whatever they call it?
Right, yeah.
There was really no reason to have that happen to anybody.
No, it never comes up again. It's just an opportunity for him to draw a face in a smoke thing.
Right, to get a chance to scream and be like, to get spread his wings a little bit, yeah.
Uncomfortably laughing, yeah.
Because it doesn't happen to anybody else the rest of the time they're there, and it doesn't change their plan in any way, because they just go back to the ship.
And it doesn't really change anything as far as the resolution goes either, as far as like, why do they need him out of the way for the story to continue?
Exactly.
Really don't.
Yeah, yeah. He could easily just be over.
If there was a good reason to have him out of the way, then I could see them writing that in, but there's not really.
No. I mean, and yeah, I don't want to come across as too negative, because I really think that it's a great tonal episode. Like, it's really creepy. The opening's really creepy. It's a great little mystery for a while. I love the idea of them wandering around in a sort of frozen time. I love the idea of a warp core breach that is just slowed down to...
slow motion.
Yeah, very, very slow. Cool, yeah. That's like a brilliant idea. And it plays with time effectively. You know, I'm more intrigued by the time stuff while they're on the runabout than I am with the stuff that they're on the Enterprise with. And the reveal of the Enterprise frozen in place being attacked by the Romulan ship is really great.
Yeah, that was a good reveal, and it looked really cool with the beam going from one ship and then the lasers come back the other way.
Yeah,
I liked how that looked.
Did you remember this episode?
I did not, actually. I mean, I kind of remembered it when I was playing through, but I didn't remember the resolution for it or anything like that. I didn't remember what was causing it. There's far too many plots to keep them all in my head, I think. But I didn't remember the resolution of it as I was watching it. It wasn't as interesting as I could have come up with, probably.
Sure. What was your sort of like emotional state as you were watching it? Was there any point where you didn't buy in, or was the point that you sort of fell into the storyline or anything like that?
Yeah, I can usually tell how good an episode is based on when I stopped taking notes on it.
Sure.
And I usually got through Act 1 and 2, like just writing down fun notes and that kind of thing. And after that, I started paying attention more to the plot after that and stopped writing things down after that.
Yep.
So, but that's also when it kind of slows down a little bit. Wow. So I don't quite know if my system worked so well there.
Yeah, this is... for my notes, this isn't... it's weird. I find like the more technobabbly ones generally have less notes for me, just because so much of it is not like, so much of it would just be an observation of the plot in a way, as opposed to any kind of thought that I'm having while I'm watching it. And I feel that this one kind of falls into that one. Like, it's, you know, my notes are basically like, oh, love the old man Picard hand, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, love the runabout.
That was a little bit of that kind of stuff going on. You're right. I was writing down stuff about Data's cat.
Yep.
And that came back around at the end, too. Woo. I mean, like, the ending was, again, it was the cold open, and the cold open was pretty good. They did a nice beat at the end there with the freezing in time and then not explaining it until after the credits.
Yeah.
But... The whole stuff leading up to that, again, felt very sitcom-y.
Yep.
It was lulling us into a false insecurity, but then what is the point of the wrap-up at the end where you have Data, like back to like a season one kind of Data of doing a watch pot never boils trope.
Yep.
It doesn't... Oh, God, that kind of pissed me
off. But, it also doesn't... It doesn't... I mean, it has the theme of time, but it doesn't really tie into what the episode was about.
No.
Outside of just time is kind of a concept and Data's trying to understand it. Like, it's too detached.
It makes it seem like he's never thought of this before, though.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Data's been around for how many seasons now? Again, this is a season one kind of Data thing to do. Of I don't understand humans and their logic. I mean, the very next episode of this, you have him, like, actually having some better questions about who he is and what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is just goes back to, like, season one of, oh, you humans are so complex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your understanding of time.
Pissed me off.
Yeah. It was a weird open and a weird close. And I guess I'm sort of surprised by that. I don't know if this would be a criticism of the episode, but to me, it feels like a lot happens in this episode, but for some reason, there's also a lot of padding in it, which doesn't... Like, the opening and the close are... the opening's a little better. The close is total padding. The mm-hmm. Picard getting sick is padding. That's right. Totally unnecessary. It feels like there's, like, 7 minutes here in a episode that I feel is dense otherwise. Like, there's a lot going on between the other times where they board the ship and they try to understand the Romulans and they get attacked. I don't know. It's kind of weird. That's an odd pacing thing.
Yeah, and I don't understand each alien just grabs the person that is nearest to them and then dies subsequently, usually.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand, like, why didn't they just spend a little more time, like, talking with them, and they would have figured it out, and they would have been resolved without anybody dying, probably.
And then
both of them just grab a guy.
Yeah, was this man always standing here, Data? And then at the very end, the Romulan ship disappears, which I didn't really understand either.
Yeah. Right.
I think it just ties into the alien resolution here is not as interesting as the mystery of the time thing is, and that's a little bit weird. I guess would it surprise you to learn that this episode was a rush job because the episode that was supposed to air as the penultimate season 6 episode got was unable to be pulled together at the last moment, so they had this one waiting. Does that surprise you?
That would not surprise me, no. Because, like you said, there's a lot of padding. There's a lot of, like, things that, like all of that could have been written at another time and just inserted into this. Like, they might have had the stuff ready to go in another script and then just plugged it in.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on. And then, it's like, again, it's not thought through. Like, there's no reason that Picard can't go to the Romulan ship.
Yep.
Unless there's some grand plan that they aren't going to let Picard ever be on a Romulan ship, maybe, for the series.
Right.
But I feel like you might have already done that.
They would have crossed
that. They sent Troy and be like, oh, you were just on. I do like the callbacks to previous episodes, though.
Yes.
Where they're like, oh, you were just on one. You know this better than anybody because you were on one for a while.
There's a callback to Face of the Enemy, and I think there's another one that I can't remember what it would be at that point. That's too bad. But yeah, there's definitely a Face of the Enemy callback. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
No. That was pretty much it. Like it's, but there's no good reason to have Picard out of the way. Is my point?
No,
I guess.
No, there isn't.
And if they had more time to write this, maybe they would have thought that through more and done something with him actually. Because again, he doesn't seem like he has any decisions to make here for the most part.
Yeah, I'm of two minds about it because the ending certainly feels to me like this was a script that they just needed to come to a conclusion about, and they wrote it that way. The opening feels strong enough to me where I could have been... If someone had told me that this episode also took a year for someone to write, I would have been like, that took a long time, maybe a bit too long. But it also... The idea is interesting enough. Like, I think if you had had more time, they could have played up the mystery aspect a little bit more. Because the problem mm-hmm. with the mystery plotting is you have to think of all the ways of how... this is actually going to work out. You know, Riker wouldn't have just fallen down. Yeah. There would have been some reason why Riker was on the floor as opposed to he just fell down. But you'd come up with the sort of the moving pieces of that in a really well-written script and just sort of build off of it.
Or go further with it because they do roll back time at one point.
Yes.
And so they could have somebody actually just dead there. and like have Riker killed somehow, and like, oh, Riker's dead now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Crusher's about to be dead, but then they roll back time. So if you get another like 5 minutes in Riker's life, maybe he lives, and things go differently.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like they didn't go all the way with it. Because I don't think they knew quite what they're going to do as they're writing it, maybe.
Yeah, and I think you just, like, what if they, if you played with the time enough where the you know, Picard and the rest of them got a glimpse, like, you know, every few minutes it would shoot forward a couple seconds. Mm. So you start to get, like, little hints of maybe what's going on, and it changes the way that they're perceiving things as they're going through the story. But again, that's an episode that needs a lot of time to be written, because that's very complicated.
And it raises questions about how time works in this universe too, maybe.
Yes.
Because that's, again, you're going to have to take a lot more time to figure all that out. So maybe play a little more safe and do it this way.
Yep.
Rather than go back through all of the rest of the history of the show and figure out how time actually works before you jump into this one.
Because they trigger the time with a tricorder, right? They do something to the aliens, and that causes the aliens
right,
to...
Right, and then they reverse the delta band to make it go people go backwards first. Yeah.
Of course. That's what...
It's okay.
That's what my mechanic always tells me about the car.
Flow, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I think it's really just a sort of general... There's a difference between a good idea... Or a great idea and a great story. And I just feel like Timescape is a really great idea that just can't fully flower into a great story. It's obviously much harder to come up with a great story than it is a great idea. Great ideas are sort of, you know, maybe not a dime a dozen, but they're certainly out there that people can grab onto. The story's a little bit harder. It's yet another appearance of the Romulans for you, which is kind of odd that this
yeah,
that this case
happened. Yeah, a lot of Romulans. As much Romulans as Troy these days, it seems like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a lot of... There's a couple of faux...
Sometimes one and the same.
That's right. There's a couple of faux Romulans in this one. There's a couple of real Romulans. I think the weakest part of the episode that comes out... I think that the... sort of the storyline that they don't resolve satisfactorily is Crusher getting shot, mostly because of the way it's staged, I think, where he's way too close to... The Romulan's way too close to her.
Right, you're going to fit another person in there?
Right,
it doesn't really seem like that'd be... I mean, from across the room, maybe.
Yes, yeah, I would have said it from across the room.
Doesn't quite seem... Yeah.
Because he...
I don't know.
When they unfreeze time... He is literally just point blank shooting her, and it's like what it's,
oh, there was someone else here.
Who would have been there? No one would have been there, Mr. Romulan. Yeah.
Why would she be sitting like she was, and there'd be somebody like there sitting on her lap? Maybe? I don't quite know.
Yeah, they
I'm looking at the image right now on Alpha Memory here, and I can't see how anybody would fit in there.
No, there's certainly no room for that. He's also he doesn't have the appropriate. Pistol action with his hand there as he's shooting.
No, he's like it's premeditated.
Yep.
Like he walked in and was like holding the place hostage, and she tried to make a move.
And then
he blasts her.
It's a surprisingly low stakes for the Romulans on the ship kind of thing, which I appreciate. I don't think it's necessary for them to be Romulan problems, but the Romulans are really just kind of walking all over the ship at this point, which is interesting.
A lot of trust there. A lot of trust. We've come a long way, guys.
They have weapons,
like,
too.
They're cool with it, too. Yeah. Like, they're not like, yeah, let them have weapons. They can have free roam of the ship, and everyone's going to be cool about this. It's like, they don't even care about asking for help.
No.
Like, normally, like, they're really shitty about, you know, we're not going to take help from you or something like that. Like, they're not going to, like... If the Federation shows up to help them, they're probably not going to take it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
Like,
they're loners. They're a loner race of wily, whatever the hell the Romulans are is what.
What are they doing? What are they doing in? Are they in the neutral zone? Like, what are they doing here? Also,
I got
like,
the impression why would they weren't? Yeah. Is that what you thought, or did you?
No, I was just thinking. Like, that just crossed my mind just now. Is like, why would the Federation ship be close enough to the neutral zone to do anything? And then secondly, why would these guys be in the neutral zone? And I don't know, just a lot of questions that what normally would be addressed within the episode aren't.
Yeah. And at the end they say that they're bringing them back.
And they're taking them to the neutral zone. So like that, they, I don't know.
They floated out. Time shifted quickly.
Maybe.
They floated out. Yeah. I don't, it's tough. I don't want to sound overly negative about this one either. I enjoy,
yeah,
I think this is
a pretty high score.
It's,
actually.
It's a very watchable episode. It's,
yeah.
It's just such a really fantastic concept, I think. But I think we've sort of broken down what we think about it. So we're going to take a little audio break. I'm going to play a clip. We're going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for Timescape.
I believe my tricorder emissions caused the temporal aperture to activate. I suggest we avoid exposing it to any further energy emissions.
When time resumed, did you observe any activity in the engine room that might suggest what the Romulans were doing?
They may have been attempting to eject their engine core.
I thought I heard one of the engineers say something about a power transfer. Something about an energy feedback.
Yes, Captain. It looks to me like they were trying to stop whatever was happening here.
Mr. Forge, from where you are, can you determine what is happening on the Romulan bridge?
I think so, Captain. Wait. Something's not right here. Did it was this man always standing right here?
He's in neural shock.
We must get him to the runabout.
There isn't time. He's dying. At least this way he'll be alive in the other time frame. We might have a chance to save him later.
Yeah, I don't want to come across as too negative for this one. I don't think I did there. I think this is a super watchable episode that is, mm-hmm. you know, if you want your Star Trek to be more sci-fi, the side of sci-fi as opposed to character stuff, I think this is a really good episode for that kind of person.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it
boils down to is that it might be a good episode of television, but not a good episode of Star Trek. Is that fair?
Let's see. I think I half agreed with that as you were saying, and then by the end I kind of disagreed with it. I think it's, let's see. Is it a good, I think it's a good episode of television. I wonder if it's right for this show, maybe, as opposed to, do you mean Star Trek The Next Generation, or do you mean Star Trek
not a good TNG episode, maybe.
I think, yeah, I think it's not a good TNG episode. Maybe, like, it's not built for this cast, I think.
Well, this is the kind of story that could work with any of them, though. You just change some names and change some races, and then you're fine again.
Yes.
So,
and I think you could change the characters in this story. You know, it could be Crusher, Troy, and Riker as the ones who come back. You know, who aren't frozen in time.
Yeah. I can see that too.
There's really no reason. I mean, Data's always useful to have around just because he can tell you everything. But outside of that, you could have interchanged any of the characters and kept it going. I mean, I like the sci-fi aspect of it. It's really good. And I enjoyed, you know, watching it. I think the first half of the episode is really, really strong. It kind of meanders after that, but. Anyway, how about you give your final thoughts and ratings on our 1-5 scale? And if you guys are on YouTube, you can click the poll function and vote along with us to let us know what you thought.
I think I will give this one a light 4, actually.
Okay.
A tentative 4, maybe. I mean, it is, like you said, it's a super watchable episode, and that goes a long way with me. Like I said, it might not be the right fit for the show at the time it's on. Again, it feels like a season one episode. If this was a season one episode, it would be amazing. But
yeah,
it's not.
Right. And it does feel. I've watched a couple of the early season episodes, and the early season definitely depended more on the sci-fi concepts of what they were trying to do. And like, I kind of agree and I kind of disagree, because if they did this in the first season, it would have been terrible just because it would have been in the first season. But the concept would have felt much more of a first season episode in a lot of ways. Because it's...
That could be it.
There's really nothing going on outside of the plot. It's not like cause and effect, which is interesting, like, in terms of how the episode is constructed. This one doesn't have that kind of thing going for it. It's much simpler. Anyway,
Much more straightforward, right?
I agree with you. I think it's a 4. It's a really, really solid sci-fi episode that is eminently rewatchable. And it's just, I really love the opening two acts. I love everything on the ship. I love the wax museum horror aspect of it. It's a really eerie kind of episode. Very frightening when Troy turns the corner and she bumps into the crewman who's just stuck there in time. It's like, it is freaky. And it's probably one of the episodes, like, I was thinking if I was in the situation, it would be the most terrifying situation, you know, because everything else seems a little bit too, like, the Borg aren't particularly scary if I imagine myself beamed into this universe in, like, a Borg episode. But walking around frozen people seems kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it is a little creepy. Yeah. They could have played that up a little more too, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or if it was a serialized thing, you know, you'd the characters would find other people in some sort of compromising situation or something, right?
Ah, yes. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you'd build the story arcs. It'd be tough. Anyway, yeah, I think it's a solid, I think it's a 4. I enjoyed watching this one. It's season 6 is wrapping up pretty strongly. The second half has been very, very strong. If you guys are on YouTube and you enjoy the content today, like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating review helps get the show out there. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. A couple bucks, it gets you exclusive content. We just did Event Horizon, the 1997 horror sci-fi movie. Outside of that, go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. All that stuff. Hit up all those sites, whatever. Thank you guys very much for listening. Modi, thanks for coming on again.
No problem. Anytime.
You've been powering through season 6 with us, and you're going to be here for the season 6 finale because you'll be back with Descent Part 1.
Can't wait.
Yes. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed season 6. It's been a blast. Me and Modi are going to be back shortly with Descent Part 1. See ya.